Chapter 20
I'm right here, my love, I murmured, and even though my throat stung from the effort, I didn't even mind. I'd made it back home to Varley, back to my wife, and that's all that mattered.
Oh, Griff!
Nia whimpered, and then she wrapped her arms around me gently. The multi-elementalist rested her head against my chest, and I kissed the top of her silky hair.
I was just so scared you wouldn't find your way. The others assured me you would, but I couldn't stop worrying about you anyway.
I heard her sniffle, and I knew she was trying to hide her sadness away. It's okay, I whispered as she sniffled, and I rubbed her back in small circles. I'm right here, Nia.
Don't ever leave me again, farm boy.
Nia laughed lightly into my shoulder.
At least for that long. I don't think I can handle it.
I guarantee you I have no plans to go anywhere else anytime soon, I replied, and then I kissed her temple. You're stuck with me, Lady Kennefic. We held each other for a few moments more, and suddenly, I heard footsteps approach my bed.
You guys are way too cute,
a voice spoke up, and I looked over to see the gleeful face of Layla grinning at us.
Of course, not as cute as me, but then again, who is? Other than Daphne and the other babies, of course.
You're right, I chuckled as Nia and I broke apart. It's hard to top that level of adorable, Bethel.
We did make quite the precious baby, Griffy.
Layla waggled her eyebrows playfully.
Perhaps we should try it again sometime.
As soon as you want to. I laughed again as I shook my head at the auburn-haired mage. The petite summoner was flanked by the rest of my women, and each of the gorgeous mages wore smiles that ranged from relieved to overjoyed.
Glad to have you back, Griff,
Ashla said first. It's good to see you all again. I smiled at my wives and girlfriends. I wish I could express just how much I missed all of you.
We missed you too, Griff,
Arwen replied in a softened tone. My wives and lovers all perched on the edge of my bed, and while it was a little crowded, I wouldn't have it any other way.
So, not to ruin this moment, but I have to ask the question,
Syra began after a few moments of silence had gone by.
The lost Tuarkins, are they officially yours? Did you claim them?
They are. And I did, I reported back to her, and my lips curled up into a smile. Huna and Keela are under my control. I have their marks and everything. My women let out exclamatory noises of joy that nearly deafened me.
Oh, Griff, we knew you could do it,
Ashla declared, and the Ice Mage's smile was as bright as the sun.
Our husband is such a strong, powerful warrior,
Freya chimed in.
I am so proud of you, my mate. You're such a badass, Griff,
Aaron added.
Conquering Tuarkins at the same time is pretty damn awesome, Griff.
Syra shook her head back and forth.
I swear, you're some kind of superhero.
Thanks, everyone, I chuckled, although I can't take all of the credit here. I never would have captured Huna and Keela if it weren't for everyone else on the team.
Sure, but you're the leader,
Nia pointed out.
I don't want to diminish our accomplishments, but you're the one who did the real work. Don't even think about arguing, Griff.
Aaron giggled, and her amber eyes sparkled with amusement.
You know we're right.
I wanted to press on with my point, but then again, it was nice to hear my women offer me such praise. After all I'd been through, it felt nice to be appreciated.
So, what are we supposed to do now that the Arkans are no longer an issue?
Layla wondered in a thoughtful tone.
Does this mean no more monster attacks?
That's a really good question, I replied. But the petite mage didn't seem satisfied with that answer.
Oh,
the auburn-haired summoner frowned.
Damn it, Griffy, you're the one who always makes the game plans. I assumed you would have something figured out by now. You know what happens when you assume?
Ashla began, and Layla playfully smacked her in the arm. The pair of mages cracked up at that, and it soon became a back-and-forth war. I wish I had a plan, I mused, but I honestly don't know how things are going to work from here on out. I don't know how all of the Arkans being under my control is going to affect the Shadowscape, or if it even does. Monsters broke through the rifts long before Sarah or Fi awoke, so I'm not sure if there's going to be a change, but I'm holding out hope that there will be.
That would be nice,
Ashla agreed with me.
Though we'd be out of a job if the monsters stopped appearing.
The Guardians spent their entire lives keeping Mistral safe, and I plan to do the same, no matter what that means, I said. Our job descriptions might shift, but I intend to continue their mission of peace.
Me too,
Nia decided, and the multi-elementalist gave me a determined expression.
We've come this far, and things can only get better from here on out. Me three,
Syra declared.
Does that make us the new Guardians?
Aaron wondered with a curious tilt of her head.
After all, we are a group of mages and shapeshifters who've committed themselves to the safety of our lands.
We'll be better than the Guardians, I mused. My Aunt Kristen told me Karth managed to plant seeds of doubt amongst them, and it didn't take much for their allegiances to splinter. But us? Our bond goes so much deeper than that.
Cheers to that,
Syra laughed.
No, but seriously, I'm all in, Griff. From here on out, I'm all about family and world peace. I love the wholesome turn this has taken,
Layla giggled.
Doesn't it always?
Aaron teased. I'll tell you one thing is for certain, I began in an ominous voice. And all of my women fell silent as I gave them a hardened, serious expression. I'm ready for a chance to fucking relax. It took a second, but then my family cracked up at that sentiment, and after a moment or two, I couldn't help but join them. As I peered around at everyone in the room, a swell of happiness built in my chest. For the past couple of years, we'd all sacrificed so much, and finally, we'd landed a true victory. Mistral would no longer have the threat of awakened monster goddesses, not when they were so tightly bound in my consciousness. And while I was still somewhat worried about how I was going to handle so many voices in my head, I knew I'd done the right thing for Mistral. I was confined to my bed in the hospital for a week before Meriden finally gave me a clean bill of health. I'd wanted to leave the day after I'd arisen from my coma, but the Adept Healer Mage was not having it.
Mr. Griff, I love you dearly, but if you think for one second I'm just going to allow you to stroll off on another quest right away, you're out of your mind.
Meriden had narrowed her soft green eyes at me after bringing me a small vial of potion and a glass of water. Trust me, Meriden, I have no plans to adventure. I'd laughed at the auburn-haired nurse as I accepted her medicine. In fact, I'm thinking of taking an early retirement from adventuring. Effective immediately.
Well, I do love the idea of you never ending up in this ward again. I know you, Griff.
Meriden shook her head at me.
You're not the kind of man who can sit still for long.
You're right, I allowed. But I think it's about time I learned how. Meriden had chuckled at that, and then left me to my own devices. I wasn't so sure I believed my own words, but I had to make an effort to finally slow down. At least for a little while. The day I was set to leave, an unexpected visitor arrived in the hospital wing to see me. Headmaster Sleet, I greeted the renowned Storm Mage with a huge smile. To what do I owe the pleasure?
Forgive me for not meeting with you sooner, Mr. Griff,
Sleet smiled back at me.
I've been away on business, and only just returned to the Academy this morning. Had I known you'd awakened...
Don't worry about it, sir, I insisted, and I gestured to the chair beside my bed. Please, come sit. Meriden won't let me leave quite yet, so we have a few minutes to talk. Sleet nodded his head, and after he took a seat, he gave me a serious look.
Mr. Griff, I wanted to speak with you on the matter of much importance.
I felt my heart plummet into my stomach. Fuck. I uttered before I had a chance to stop myself. Am I in trouble?
No, you're not in trouble, Griff,
the headmaster chuckled, and his stormy white eyes twinkled with amusement.
Honestly, it's quite the opposite. Miss Hamner and Miss Kinnifick brought me up to speed on your mission in Nattinger, and I just wanted to tell you how incredibly proud of you I am, Griff. The level of devotion you've had to protecting Mistral is unparalleled, and I know I speak for the whole continent when I say how grateful we are to have you.
Thank you for your kindness, Headmaster. But I was only doing my duty, I said. But the headmaster cut me off before I could say another word.
It wasn't just duty, Mr. Griff, Sleet insisted,
and the older elementalist's face shifted from amused to earnest. When I first stumbled upon you in Raylor's stead all that time ago, I knew you were special. The way you battled that Cyclops was like nothing I'd ever seen before, and for the first time in a long time, I felt hopeful.
Hopeful? I repeated back.
Sir, I don't understand. There's always a missing piece when it came to the mages who guarded Mistral, Sleet elaborated,
and he sat back in his seat.
Something I could never quite put my finger on. The thing about magic, Mr. Griff, is that it's always its most effective when it's used with other magic. Elementalists, adepts, summoners, every type of a mage's power has its strengths and weaknesses. But when they're combined in different ways... When I came upon you in Raylor's stead, I watched the way you used your monsters together, and it was as if everything had clicked into place. I realized if we ever wanted to win this war, we would all need to come together and use our combined magics and strengths to defeat our enemy.
You were right about that theory, I agreed with him. Half of our successful missions over the past couple of years were only possible because we had so many different types of magic present. The Monster Response Squad in particular got stronger because we all learned how to use our powers together, rather than separate. In the past, teams have always consisted of the different types of mages. But until you, there was never any summoner representation amongst the squads. Sleet continued on. You've proven to the world that summoners can be so much more than construction workers or disaster relief. And you've helped pass along your knowledge and techniques to the next level of young summoners. All of that is to say thank you, Griff, for all you have done for this enclave.
Thank you, sir, I replied, and I found myself at a loss for words.
How does one follow up on such strong praise?
This speech also leads me to the reason I came here in the first place.
The headmaster cleared his throat, and he sat up as straight as he could before he continued.
Weeks ago, you completed a comprehensive exam that you passed with flying colors. You surpassed my expectations and earned my complete respect with the acceptance of such a challenge.
I'm beginning to run out of ways to thank you for the compliments, headmaster. I chuckled. But in all seriousness, I just wanted to prove to you that I take my education seriously. And I want to be the best student I can be so I can one day be the best summoner there is.
Trust me when I say you've done what no one before you has ever been able to do,
Sleet assured me with an almost paternal smile.
Not a single guardian or summoner ever attempted to house an Arcan in the same way that they would a monster. You willingly volunteered your mind to act as an essence crystal, used your body as a vessel for not one, but all 9 of the goddesses, and managed to survive the task at that. Your mastery in the field, combined with your academic success, has led me to this point. Griff, I have nothing more to teach you.
What are you saying, sir? I frowned as my brain ran in circles. Am I being kicked out?
The opposite, Headmaster Sleet chuckled. Griff, you've officially graduated from the Academy of Arlay. Congratulations, my boy! You've done it!
I've graduated? I repeated back, and I couldn't mask the excitement in my tone.
Oh, Maker! Headmaster, this is...
Wow! Thank you. Thank you so much for everything.
You're going to go on and do amazing things, Mr. Griff. Headmaster Sleet smiled at me. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for you.
I owe it all to you, I insisted. Thank you for taking a chance on a farm kid from the wilds.
Headmaster Sleet rose from his seat and offered me his hand. I gave it a firm shake, and then the Storm Mage pulled me in and wrapped me into an embrace.
I would do it again in a heartbeat, he replied.
Once our hug concluded, Sleet straightened out his coat and glanced at the clock.
I have a few matters to attend to, but we'll be in touch soon, the headmaster said. The Grand Mage and I have some things we'd like to discuss with you further, but I think you've earned a bit of a break. Take some time to celebrate your accomplishments with your family.
Will do, I grinned.
The Storm Mage gave me a wink, and then he left the hospital wing. Once Sleet left, Meriden gave me one last look over, and then decided to release me.
Is one of your girls coming to collect you?
The healer mage asked me once I gathered up my things.
I think I'm going to walk. I shook my head. The fresh air sounds pretty nice, and I have a lot to think about.
Take care of yourself, Griff,
Meriden replied.
I will, I agreed. And after I gave the auburn-haired mage a smile, I departed the medical ward.
I spent the entire walk home with a grin on my face.
Holy shit. I'd actually done it. If someone had told me all that time ago when I was just a summoner for hire out in the wilds that I would go on to become an academy graduate, I would have called them a liar. But here I was, an official summoner with a seemingly bright future ahead of me. I had no idea what the next step was for me in a career sense, but I was excited to find out where my path would lead me. Perhaps I would take Grand Mage Kinnifick up on his offer to join his staff as an advisor. Or maybe I'd end up becoming a full-time teacher at the academy. I'd loved my limited run as a professor, and I could see myself doing that as a career one day. Whatever I chose to do, I wanted to help people in any capacity possible. When I finally walked into the house, I was greeted by the serene faces of my women and children, and my heart thudded in my chest as I prepared to share my good news with them.
Why do you look so happy?
Ashla grinned at me. But I knew from the sparkle in the Ice Mage's eyes that she was fully aware of my news. I just came from a meeting with the headmaster, I replied, and as I paused, I peered around the room to gauge my lover's reactions.
And?
Layla prompted me after 3 whole seconds had passed. I've graduated from the academy, I revealed, and my women erupted into squeals of excitement.
Griffy!
Layla squeaked.
Oh, congratulations! Congratulations, Griff.
Nia gave me a dazzling smile.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Nia, I replied. It honestly doesn't even feel real. I didn't believe the headmaster when he told me.
You've come such a long way,
Arwen mused, and the healer mage brushed a crimson tendril behind her ear.
Griff, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Arwen, I said in an earnest tone. If it weren't for your tutelage, I wouldn't have gotten as far as I did. You were an amazing teacher, and I'm so blessed to have you in my life.
Wait a second. Do you realize what this means?
Syra's dark chocolate eyes widened.
Griff, Arwen, there isn't a student-teacher relationship between you anymore. Which means...
We can get married, I finished her sentence, and my own eyes widened when the curly-haired summoner's words set in. Arwen had insisted that we wait to become husband and wife until I was a graduate, and now that I was no longer a student, Arwen seemed to have come to the same conclusion, and her porcelain cheeks flushed a deep rose.
That's true, isn't it?
I approached the crimson-haired healer mage and took her hands in mine. My red-headed lover's eyebrows creased together, and I knew she was aware of what I was about to ask her.
Arwen Hamner, from the moment I met you, I knew I was going to find a way to make you mine, I began.
From the moment I entered your train car to Varley, I felt a connection between us. You're one of the greatest loves of my life, and I don't want to spend another moment without you as my life partner. So now that our relationship has shifted from somewhat socially inappropriate to completely appropriate, will you do me the honor of becoming my wife?
Yes,
the healer mage whispered as tears erupted from her amber eyes.
Yes, Criff. A million times yes. I want to be yours forever.
I pulled Arwen in close and planted a kiss on her lips. The gorgeous professor wrapped her arms around my neck and squeezed me so tightly I could barely breathe. But I didn't even care. Arwen and I were meant to be together. And even though our relationship with one another wouldn't change much, I was over the moon to be able to call her my wife. My lovers exploded into a symphony of congratulations and applause, and Arwen and I pulled away from our embrace with enormous grins on our faces.
Looks like we're going to have another wedding to plan,
Syra grinned at Nia, and the ashen-haired elementalist let out a soft laugh.
Never a dull moment around here, is there?
She chuckled, and then she flashed Arwen a reassuring smile.
Arwen, we'll give you the most wonderful wedding ever. I know you will,
Arwen replied.
Thank you, Nia. I am so happy to have you as my sister wife, Arwen.
Freya congratulated the healer.
I love you so much, and you're going to be the most beautiful bride. I love you too, Freya,
Arwen gushed.
So when are we going to have this adorable wedding?
Layla chirped.
Maybe the spring, summer. I don't want to set a date quite yet. But if possible, I think I'd like to get married before our son or daughter is born,
the redhead decided.
Things are going to be a little hectic around here once they arrive, and I'd like to marry you as soon as we can. Oh no, not another rushed wedding,
Layla grumbled, and she threw her head back in exaggerated annoyance.
I'm not saying it has to be today,
Arwen laughed in a musical tone.
Preferably, I'd like to be wed before I start showing. I can't imagine a baby bump pairing well with a wedding dress.
Whatever you want, we'll make it happen, I promised her, and I wrapped my arms around the redhead's waist. We have all of the time in the world now. That evening, my friends and family gathered to have a celebratory dinner. Between my graduation, the conquering of the final Arkans, and mine and Arwen's engagement, there was much to be thankful for, so we thought a single party would do the trick. My women and I worked a well-oiled machine to prepare a feast worthy of royalty, and we managed to get a hold of all of our friends. We made sure they knew that attendance was mandatory, and all of them dutifully showed up right on time. We gathered in our formal dining room, and we spent the entire evening eating, drinking, and celebrating our good fortunes. I'd made it a point to seat Vala and Myrrh together, and the pair had a glow about them that made my heart swell with joy. Freya continued to watch them with a cautious gaze, but I could tell she started to come around to the idea of the pair together. It was going to be a rocky journey, but I was happy for the shapeshifters. Above all, love was the most important thing, and I was glad the two had found each other. We all engrossed ourselves in conversation, and as we swapped stories and reminisced on classes and missions past, I realized just how much my life had changed since I'd come to Varley. I'd gone from a lost, orphaned kid in the wilds to a man who was surrounded by so much love and friendship, he was full to bursting.
I want to propose a toast, Brayden declared.
The ox-like summoner rose from his seat and raised his champagne glass high in the air.
To our good friend Griff, who not only brought us all together, but also helped save all of Mistral. Thank you, Griff, for all you've ever done for us and everything you've done for our people. Without you, we'd be under the evil Arkans rule, or worse. So cheers to Griff!
To Griff!
My friends and family all cheered. As we threw back our glasses of champagne, I nearly exploded from happiness. I felt particularly sappy as of late, but I had so much to be thankful for. My friends, my family, my future career endeavors. It was almost too much to bear, but I wouldn't have changed a thing. I was the luckiest man in all of the realm. We partied into the night, but eventually we wound down, and our friends began to leave. My women disappeared to clean up and deal with the children, and even though I volunteered to help them, Nia insisted I go and get some rest. So I obeyed orders, and slowly made my way up to my room. Once there, I stripped out of my clothes, retreated to the comfort of my warm bed, and then stretched out and folded my arms behind my head. I still felt a little buzzed from the champagne, but it wasn't a bad thing in the slightest. This was a happy drunk that fueled the already warm feeling in my head and body, and after everything I'd been through, it was nice to be relaxed. However, the longer I laid there, the more my mind began to wander. Something about sitting in the dark made me feel strange, and I couldn't put my finger on why until I stared up at my ceiling and suddenly remembered the strange place I'd gone to before the dreamscape. I'd been on the verge of death and had almost succumbed, but I'd managed to find my way back, all thanks to Sarah. Sarah. I hadn't given myself a moment to really think about how the Arkan saved me, but now that I was completely alone, it was the only thing on my mind. The Dark Winged Arkan could have very easily let me give in to the darkness and die, but she chose to guide me back instead, and that fact wasn't lost on me. She had a chance to be set free, but instead, she chose to save me. Me, the summoner who kept her bound in his consciousness. The other Arkans spoke of their loyalty often, but most of the time it felt like they were using their words to try to win my favor, rather than mean them genuinely. Sarah had gone above and beyond that. If she'd let me give in, there was a strong chance she could have been freed from the wards in my mind. And yet, a deeper warmth flooded through me, and I realized something I hadn't been aware of before. I needed to speak to Sarah right away before the sentiment slipped away and I lost my nerve. So I reached into my consciousness and called out to the Dark Winged Arkan.
Master, Sarah's voice rang out through my mind. How may I serve you?
I'm going to need you out here, I commanded her in a vague tone. There's something I'd like to talk to you about, and I think it's a conversation that deserves to happen face to face.
That sounds serious,
Sarah replied worriedly.
But I will do as you wish.
My back suddenly tingled where Sarah's mark decorated my skin, and a stream of essence snaked in front of me until it took the shape of the Dark Angelic Arkan. Sarah's bright yellow eyes were nearly golden in the light of the setting sun, and their gorgeous hue was even more alluring than ever.
What would you like to discuss, Griff?
The Arkan wondered, and she tucked a lock of midnight black hair behind her ear.
Is everything all right?
Everything is perfect, I said, and I offered the goddess a smile. In fact, it's more than perfect.
I'm glad to hear it,
Sarah replied with a bemused smirk.
9 goddesses at your command, 2 children on the way. And did I hear a proposal earlier?
You did, I confirmed, and heat rose to my cheeks. Now that I've graduated from the academy, I've asked Arwen to marry me.
I'm happy for you, my master, Sarah said. Sincerely, I am. I know you're human women, and I don't always see eye to eye, but we all care about your happiness. So I suppose we have some kind of common ground.
I suppose you do, I laughed lightly, and I felt a pang in my chest as my expression grew serious.
Why are you looking at me that way?
Sarah frowned suspiciously. Sarah, there's something I've been struggling to admit to myself, I began, and my heart rose up into my throat as I searched for the right words to say. It's been in the back of my mind for a while, but I didn't fully understand it until recently.
You're being purposefully vague,
the Arkan narrowed her eyes.
Out with it, Griff. What are you trying to say?
Sarah, I love you, I confessed, and my heart raced in my chest once the words left my mouth.
You love me?
Sarah repeated back, and the Dark Winged Arkan's lips parted slightly.
Master, if this is your idea of a joke, it's not funny.
It's not a joke, I promised her, and I took the goddess's hands in mine. Her skin was cool to the touch, but with how warm I'd become, it felt nice. Sarah, I know our relationship with one another isn't normal by any stretch of the imagination, and I know it's been wrought with disrespect, deception, and vagueness. But no matter what, you've always shown me loyalty.
And not always,
Sarah admitted softly.
In the beginning, I fully intended to betray you to further my own plans for domination.
But you didn't, I pointed out. And besides, it's not like I'd been a saint. When I made the deal with you and your sisters to give one of you my children, I fully knew there was no way you would all cooperate enough to make a collective decision.
I know.
The Arkan gave me a thin-lipped smile.
It became obvious as time went on.
That being said, I've made the decision on my own, I revealed, and I looked the beautiful goddess deep in her eyes. Sarah, I want you to be the first one of your sisters to bear my child. Sarah's jaw dropped, and she didn't say a thing for a few moments. I didn't think you'd be this surprised, I chuckled.
Are you joking?
She glanced down at her feet, and her voice was but a whisper.
Please, do not toy with me, Master.
Not a joke, I insisted. You've saved my ass on so many occasions. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't have been able to sneak out Karth's book. I wouldn't have known the Mistwolf pack had returned to Mistral. And most importantly, I wouldn't have made it back to my mind after capturing Huna and Keela. Even when it felt so much easier to give up, you never let me lose sight of what was most important.
I didn't want you to die,
she whispered as her cheeks darkened.
The thought of losing you was almost too much for me to bear.
Does that mean...
Of course I love you, Griff,
Sarah sighed, and then she broke into a smirk.
I never expected to fall for a mortal man. But then again, you aren't like most men. You're the beast...
Don't finish that. I interrupted her before she could finish the moniker. I don't know what I am exactly. All I know is I'm a man who loves you and wants you to bear my children. I reached out to cup the goddess's cheek, and Sarah relaxed into my touch. I'd never seen such a tender expression from the Arkan before, and if there was any doubt in my mind about her feelings toward me, that look vanquished them. I leaned forward and placed a gentle kiss on her lips. We began slowly at first, and then I pulled away from the goddess and moved to the edge of the bed. The sun is still out, I whispered. I can fill you with my seed right now if you wish.
I wish it more than anything in my entire existence.
The Arkan studied me with heavy-lidded eyes that were wrought with lust, and without hesitation, she crossed over to me, lowered herself into my lap, and wrapped her long legs around my abdomen. I felt a tightness in my lower half as I placed my hands on the goddess's shapely hips, and Sarah noticed it immediately. She took my hands and guided them upward to cup her perfectly round breasts. I squeezed the full mounds inside as my fingertips enjoyed their velvety softness. I ran my thumbs over her nipples, and under my touch, the nubs hardened to stiff peaks. I leaned down, took one of them into my mouth, and began to suck. Sarah's body shuddered as I flicked my tongue against them, and through her flimsy garment, I could feel the wetness between her legs.
Ah,
she murmured as I continued to fondle her breasts, and with every moan, the excitement in my trousers accelerated. I pulled my lips from her hardened nipples and began to move upward with my kisses. I started at the hollow of her collarbone and traveled up to the crook of her neck and shoulder. And as the goddess's breathing grew heavier, I made my way to the spot on her neck just below her ear and increased my pressure against her throat. My hands traced her silky smooth curves, and Sarah moaned at my touch.
Oh, Griff,
she sighed.
You have no idea how much I want you to love me right now.
Yeah? How much? I whispered, and then I gently tugged her earlobe with my teeth.
More than I can ever express,
she shuddered.
I want to feel that amazing cock of yours inside of me. And I want you to fill me with so much of your seed I drown in it.
Wow, I breathed.
I'm serious,
she reiterated.
I want you, Beastmaker. All of you. And then I want to feel your wonderful offspring growing inside of my body.
Then you'll have it, I replied. With Sarah in my arms, I flipped us over to the center of the bed, positioned myself so I was on top of her, and then I leaned down to kiss the Arkan. Sarah wrapped herself around me and dragged her sharp nails down my back. My blood pumped hot in my veins as a groan escaped me, and I bit down on the Arkan's lower lip. This seemed to set the goddess off, and suddenly she gripped my shoulders and flipped us once more so she could be on top.
Let me ride you,
she whispered in a voice so sensual, I almost burst into pleasure on the spot.
I want to know how it feels to ride you, master.
Your wish is my command, I replied. The Arkan lowered herself onto my stiffened member, and a rush of dizziness spread through me as her tunnel gripped me with exquisite tightness. I reached out and gripped Sarah's wide hips, and the Arkan began to ride me like a champion. Her impressive breasts jiggled and heaved as our bodies clapped together, and the way the walls of her pussy clenched me was almost enough to make me come right then and there.
Oh, Griff!
Sarah moaned as she sensually rolled her hips, and my vision blurred as my senses went into overdrive.
Oh, oh, you feel so good.
Oh, Maker, that feels amazing.
I groaned as her lips moved up and down my shaft. With each ebb and flow, my heart raced, and my lower half began to vibrate uncontrollably. My blood pounded in my ears as Sarah's pace hastened, and I began to lose myself as the dark-winged Arkan's tunnel tightened around me with an impressive amount of force. The goddess was about to come, and the sound of her moans was the most wonderful music I'd ever heard.
Give me your baby, Griff!
Sarah called out as her eyes rolled into the back of her head.
Fill my womb with your seed, and together we'll create the greatest warriors ever born!
I came in a powerful explosion and sprayed what felt like gallons of my hot seed inside of the Arkan's womb.
Ugh, fuck!
I groaned, and my juices flowed uncontrollably until Sarah was so full to the brim that my seed dripped out of her glistening pussy.
Oh, crap!
She shuddered as her orgasm struck her, and her entire body quaked around me. This wasn't the first time the Arkan and I had made love, but after an orgasm like that, it may as well have been. Once she regained control over her movements, the goddess eased herself off me, and then laid down on her back to catch her breath. I admired the way her chest heaved as her breath ran ragged, and the Arkan's lips curled into a cat-like smile.
What are you so smiley about?
I teased her.
That felt divine,
Sarah replied.
But I think we could use a little more practice, don't you think?
You're ready to go again? I chuckled.
You're insatiable.
You have no idea, the Arkan winked. Give me a few minutes, and I'll be ready to make love to you again and again.
Deal, I said, and we did just that. I made love to the Arkan on every surface of my bedroom, in every possible position, and filled her with so much of my seed, I was impressed I still had any left. Had I not grown exhausted, I would have continued fucking Sarah for all of eternity. But alas, I was a mortal man, and I eventually reached a point of tiredness I couldn't ignore. We returned to the bed, and Sarah and I entangled ourselves in one another. The Arkan and I laid in silence for a while, and after my heart rate finally decreased to an acceptable level, I carefully pulled myself away from the beautiful goddess. It's already nighttime, I mused as I stared at the line of pale light that broke through the part in my curtains. Wow, I didn't realize we'd been at it for so long.
Night?
Sarah repeated back to me.
It's nighttime? Are you sure?
The Arkin's face was bewildered at this news, and suddenly, I remembered the Arkin's prophecy. Supposedly, the Arkin who fell pregnant with the Beastmaker's seed could walk in the moonlight, but had I managed to actually impregnate the dark-winged goddess? The moonlight, I mused. Do you think they were telling the truth?
There's only one way to find out,
Sarah whispered urgently. The goddess pulled herself out of bed and crossed over to the largest window in my room. With a shaky breath, she pulled open the curtains, and her gloriously naked body was flooded with moonlight. It was a full moon tonight, and the ethereal silver light bathed Sarah's skin in a lovely glow.
This is wonderful,
Sarah breathed, and the Arkin's eyes filled with tears as she peered over her shoulder.
The moon is so beautiful, Griff.
It's not the only thing, I smiled as I rose from the bed and crossed over to join her. And when I made it to her side, I pulled the Arkin toward me. We shared a kiss, and this one was different from any others we'd had before. This wasn't a kiss of pure lust, but instead, it was a kiss between two people who loved each other. There was still an uncertainty in the back of my head about how fathering offspring with a monster goddess was going to play out, and I had no idea how the rest of my wives and girlfriends would react to the reveal. But none of that mattered right now. Sarah and I were happy. When Sarah and I finally pulled away from each other, the Arkin turned her attention back to the moon, and suddenly, she began to squint. What's wrong? I asked, and I followed her gaze until I found the source of her strange expression. The phenomena started out as a single burst of red, like a drop of blood against the pale silver orb of the moon, but whatever it was began to spread quickly and completely covered the moon's surface, almost like an eclipse.
Griff!
Sarah repeated in a panicked voice.
What's happening?
I don't know. I breathed as my mind tried to comprehend what I was seeing. I hadn't read anything about an eclipse happening this evening, and normally the red would have been accompanied by darkness. This was something else entirely. As the moon turned red, the night sky took on the same hellish hue, and soon, all of Arlay was overtaken by the blood-red light. This was like something out of a nightmare, and I pinched myself to make sure I was dreaming. I stared on in horror as I saw a black tendril flicker from the surface of the moon. It was almost tentacle-like in appearance, and just as soon as it appeared, so did seven more. They began to writhe and stretch as if they were searching for something to latch onto, and their disturbing, disjointed movements sent a rush of dread through my entire body. Sarah let out a blood-curdling scream, and my heart plummeted to the ground as my eardrums threatened to bleed.
No! The prophecy was wrong! We were never supposed to leave the Shadowscape! It knows we're here, and now it will destroy us all! Griff! No!